No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, talking about Charlie Blackmon, talking about leadership for the Colorado Rockies. Where are they going to get this leadership from in the wake of Charlie Blackmon's retirement? Well, despite the fact that Charlie Blackmon has retired, he's also unretired. Well, no, not exactly. He's not going to be playing for the Rockies next year. Although, I mean, there's probably fewer members of the front office that are any better than Charlie Blackmon out there. I mean, if you're going to have somebody from your front office have an at-bat in a game, I mean, Charlie Blackman's probably got to be the best special assistant to a GM you could possibly have out there. And so, yes, he gets that position to stay with the Rockies in their front office, similar to what Vinny Castilla, Todd Helton, Clint Hurdle. Nice to see four of those iconic members of the past 33 years of Rockies history now all together and contributing to the Rockies' present and future as well. I am sure a lot of people were excited to see the news and hear the news about Charlie Blackmon becoming a special assistant to general manager Bill Schmidt, but also thinking, you know what? Colorado is almost like the New York City Mafia, and Chuck is like Michael Corleone. You know, just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. Like that's what it is. So, you know, there are some questions even asked him at the media availability in regards to like, oh, you know, how are things different? It hasn't really been different yet. Now, he wasn't preparing for a season. He definitely looked like he had trimmed down about 10, 15 pounds. You know, probably half of that could have been the mullet, right? Got a haircut. You probably saw those pictures online. If not, head on over to @PatrickDLyons on all the social media platforms so you can see a little bit of the back of Charlie's neck, probably for the first time since, I don't know, 2013, something like that. Still has the beard, but nice and cleaned up, even probably a little bit shorter on top as well. But new look, same spot with the Rockies, going to FanFest. He'll be at spring training again. So nothing really different. It probably won't hit until, you know, May, June, you know, the start of summer, where he can pretty much do whatever he wants. And that is what he is going to do. He will not be around the ballpark quite as much as someone like a Vinny Castilla, another special assistant to the GM. You know, you probably see Vinny at least once or twice a homestand where he'll pop in and work on little things, help out some players here or there, or just help with the general overall camaraderie in the clubhouse. Charlie, according to GM Bill Schmidt, he might tend to gravitate a little bit more towards the scouting, you know, particularly in the state of Georgia, the Atlanta area. That's something that he has a lot more interest in. There's definitely been an emphasis on, you know, trying to build relationships with a lot of the younger players that are in the organization, the prospects, you know, the new draftees, because, you know, those guys do end up sticking around for a very long time, whether or not, you know, they pan out. They are an integral part of the organization, and some stick around and, you know, become coaches, or they leave the organization and they eventually come back. So you almost never know who's going to be a true baseball lifer. And, you know, the way the Rockies do business and the way they do people is they treat their people well and they treat their people right. So Charlie's is going to find that part, you know, very easy. I imagine just, you know, getting to know everybody and building those relationships with those young players. But as far as, you know, the specifics of what he's going to do, don't know. Hey, you know, he might end up showing up for the draft. You know, maybe Charlie Blackman's up there on the dais. Should the Rockies, you know, get a lottery pick next year? In fact, they can't get a lottery pick next year, but they do need to have somebody on stage for the draft lottery. Yeah, remember, if you're a top six, you get a top six pick, meaning you've won the lottery in some sense, or you've gotten a lottery pick after 2 years. Even if you're a small market club, you are no longer eligible in that third year. So you still got to be up there on the stage, despite the fact that you know you're probably going to pick 10th or 11th. Again, that's depending on whether or not the Rockies end up making the postseason in 2025, which, you know, I don't think anyone's really counting on them to do that. And you didn't hear too many of the players, the front office, say otherwise, that, you know what, I think we could surprise. I think they might believe that if all things go well, if everything is perfect, if everyone stays healthy, you know, maybe they do have a shot. And I think you could probably say that about any team, that in a perfect world, they are able to win, what, 85 games? That's not a lot more than 500. If 81 and 81 is 500, that just means four games ended up going your way that, you know, maybe should have been losses or could have been losses. That's really all we're talking about. So they didn't say that, but they were a little bit hopeful that overall, with their rotation being in a much better place, really, this is probably the first time since 2021 that you could look and say, this is, you know, five veteran starting pitchers that should be able to go out there and take the ball 30 times. You know, that's not going to happen, but you at least have a starting point that's really strong. And then behind them, the depth is a lot better than it's been. Rockies lost Senzatell and Marquez in 2023, and there was quite literally nobody behind them. And that's why you saw players picked up off the scrap heap, from Jose Urania to Chris Flexen to Chase Anderson. Look, this guy got cut and, you know, was the 27th best player on a team's 40-man roster, and then they immediately joined the top five of the rotation of the Colorado Rockies. That's how left out there the Rockies were in their starting pitching depth, a lot of that going to poor asset management in 2021 and 2022 trade deadline, where they made all of one deal. And that's just one of those things that they have to do a lot better. Say what you will about drafting and developing, and they still need to do a lot better than that, we know. And developing players at the major league level, giving them the tools that they need to do that much better. Look, there are a lot of areas of improvement, but there are little things that you need to do well so the big things can take care of themselves. And being inactive at the trade deadline when your season's over in the middle of July, you can't miss out on that opportunity. And the Rockies have done that a lot in recent memory. So the depth is a lot better. So just from that standpoint alone, you might have to feel somewhat confident that they can have a 10-win turnaround. I don't know how many more they're going to win than 71. Can they win less than 71? Absolutely. Especially if injuries really start to hamper the club. But if you've got those five guys healthy, and it sounds like Germán Márquez and Antonio Senzatell are very healthy right now going into spring training. But if they can stay healthy and they're still good, they're able to kind of get themselves back to form before they had Tommy John in 2023, then I think you can feel good about a 10-win turnaround. And that's really a big question. I've been talking about this all off season. You can win 10 more games this season and still not feel a lot better about the future, because you've got Márquez, who's going to be a free agent after this season. If he comes back and he wins 16 games and looks like that ace that you had in the first half of 2021 when he was an all-star, and he pitched at Coors Field during the All-Star game, if he's carrying the rotation, I mean, that's nice to a degree. But if he ends up leaving in free agency, you're looking at the roster in 2026 going, hey, the guys that are left over from 2025, they're all right, but we lost a lot when we lost our ace. So it's really about who is a part of that 10-win turnaround. But is that possible? Absolutely. And the rotation is definitely going to be a big part of that. Going back to Charlie Blackmon, you know, he said, I had wanted to ask him, and someone got in just ahead of me. Have you picked up a bat? Have you picked up a bat since you retired? And the answer is technically, he's not picked up a wooden bat. I mean, why would you? Eventually he will. He will. I imagine he probably told himself, like, I mean, what's the point? I don't know what kind of situation he has at home. Does he have to go to a facility to hit? Does he have something on his property? I don't know. I imagine he doesn't have something on his property. Otherwise, he probably would have picked up a wooden bat. But he hasn't picked up a wooden bat. He has picked up a small plastic bat when playing with his kids because, as he put it, daddy can't play defense all the time. Daddy needs an at-bat here and there. So that was definitely a funny moment. Also laughable to hear that a 38-year-old man is skiing for the first time, which he was able to do in Vail just this past week. I did ask him about that, like, you know, what was that experience like? Is he officially a skier now? And, you know, of course, he wasn't able to do that in the past. That is a part of their contract that you can't do those kind of things. And he said, yeah, Rockies shouldn't be skiing. And so to my knowledge, none of the Rockies do ski, and none of them should be skiing, as we know. So that's a fun new hobby for Charlie Blackmon. Really great to see him. And it was nice to catch up a little bit more since the winter meetings, talking with Bud Black and GM Bill Schmidt about this season coming up and what are their expectations and what are the big takeaways right now? Because there were a lot from that media availability. And, you know, one of those things was a lot more prospect hype, right? More of the same. They've been banging that drum for a while. Earlier today, I went back and looked at the missive that Dick Monfort sent out to season ticket holders in 2022 when they lost 90 plus games. And it was a lot about, hey, the prospects are on their way and they're going to contribute and they're doing well. And some of those players no longer with the organization. Some of them have flamed out already. Some of them fans are still waiting for. And here it is 3 years later. So that's a bit frustrating, I think, for some fans that are out there when they look and say, you know, when are the prospects going to help? And, you know, there've been some on the team the last couple of years. Some of them haven't really done much. Some of them haven't really even gotten an opportunity. That's where winning 10 more games isn't the be-all end-all of positivity. It's how you end up doing that. Wild the Innocent saying that Charlie, he was skiing in jeans and a bandana. I can't confirm that. I did not see any photographs of, you know, what he was wearing. Maybe it was a denim shirt with the sleeves cut off. I imagine, yeah, a USA flag bandana over his head. I could see something like that. What about this? Is he wearing a batting helmet instead of a skiing helmet? Is he going batting gloves, full batting gloves on that? I don't know. The possibilities are endless. So if you're out of Vail, I mean, maybe he went back up with his family, you know, again, right after Rockies Fest. So keep your eye out for that. But the telltale mullet will not be coming out the back of his ski helmet, his batting helmet, you name it. That thing's gone. The beard, though, the beard will still be there. So if you have to do a double take on someone, that could be Charlie Blackmon. It very well could be Charlie Blackmon. Of course, Chris Bryant was a topic of conversation. What to expect at him in 2025? To be honest, that wasn't addressed exactly. You know, his health, his status certainly was, and he seems to be in a much better condition, a much better place in Las Vegas. But he's not been healthy, which is different than being bad. Whereas if he's bad and there's not a great work ethic, that's one thing. But if you're healthy, you know, or unhealthy, that can be a little bit unfortunate. And, you know, that's one of the things that has kept the Rockies front office in many ways from being fully frustrated. That being said, this is year four. And Chris Bryant has yet to play 162 games. And You know, are things boiling behind the surface, bubbling? Will it bubble up? Maybe. If Chris Bryant is not doing what he needs to do to get himself back onto the field and get himself healthy, if his body is in such a rough condition that he can't do general baseball activities, then he would need to retire. The fact that he's not is hindering the Rockies. So, you know, you may get to an impasse where a decision has to be made. Either you need to play a little bit more through this pain, or you need to retire because you can't play through the pain. You can't be in a sliver right in between those two. It's one or the other. There is no in between. You can't be dancing through the raindrops like that. Will that come to fruition in 2025? Maybe. I did ask Buddy if the path to success, the path to improvement in 2025, does it have to include Chris Bryant? Maybe not exactly, but I think any scenario in which you have a 10-win turnaround this year, I think 75% of those scenarios do involve Chris Bryant being healthy for 120, 130 of those games and playing well, even if it is only 80% as what he was able to provide in 2021. Not going to go back to his MVP season in 2016. I think that's long gone. But the Rockies need to get a lot more out of Chris Bryant, not just because they're relying on him, because I think they've moved on in many different ways. That's why you're seeing these young guys come up and they're not trying to, you know, put Band-Aids on the roster and say, if we can add these guys around Chris Bryant, maybe we have something. The Rockies aren't operating around Chris Bryant anymore. They're really not. In the chat, Ryan McMahon had comments on Bryant. Yes, keep in mind, these comments were all prompted by questions. These were not, hey, I have some things that I want to say or things I want to get off my chest. These were all questions that were lobbed to or levied to these players, front office personnel, about a specific topic, and they responded accordingly. And so McMahon, yeah, just said, look, I know KB's been frustrated by this, and it's been unfortunate, but McMahon feels a lot more confident that Bryan will be able to be back, will be able to contribute a lot more in 2025. And again, I don't think the Rockies are counting on that. But financially, the impact of paying somebody $27, $28 million and getting nothing out of them when you're in a smaller market like Denver is catastrophic. It can be crippling too. I'll talk about the Dodgers here in a second because they were another topic of conversation at Rockies Fest. And while while the Dodgers have spent their money really well, they are a team that if they spend their money poorly on a bad contract, guess what? It's not a big deal. It's a drop in the bucket for them. They can move on and sign somebody else to a large deal. It's happened to them in the past. It's happened to them a lot. It's happened to the Yankees. It's happened to the Red Sox. The Diamondbacks had to deal with that with Yasmani Tomas. You remember him? That did not work out at all. And they had to eat that money, and that hurt them for a while. So for the Rockies to be, you know, think about the quality of player that you could get. You could get two players at $14 million for the same price that you're paying Chris Bryant. And with a young roster that, again, could make major strides this next year, 14 mil, you know, is that could be a top-line closer right there that's going to make your bullpen all that much better. That's where you could spend $14 million right there, right, on a 2-3-year deal, whatever that might be. And then $14 million ends up getting you a borderline all-star corner outfielder. Probably not something the Rockies really need to go for right now, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that you could go out and improve your roster with. And if you're not getting that value back in any way, you've got negative wins above replacement from Chris Bryant, that's unfortunate. That is going to set you back, and that is going to be a contributing factor to having lost back-to-back 100 loss seasons. That's certainly unfortunate. One of the other interesting topics that came up for a lot of the players was leadership. Charlie's gone, at least in the clubhouse. He's gone. Who's the leader of this team? That is a major question that needs to be answered in 2025 And I don't know that we're going to get it. And maybe that's because when you lose your leader like that, it's not just going to be in 6 months, somebody totally new has taken the helm. Somebody might jump out to a lead and okay, maybe in a year and a half's time, you can say this guy is the leader. He's the captain in a sense of the team. But I don't think it can happen just in 1 year, especially with a roster like the Rockies have where they're so young and they're so inexperienced and there isn't an obvious guy to step forward. Ryan McMahon would be that player. Ryan McMahon would be that guy. And I asked Ryan McMahon about that. And he didn't sound as if he was ready to essentially take that mantle entirely onto himself. That was something that Nolan Arenado, unfortunately, wasn't really that interested in doing by himself. He wanted some help. He wanted some support out there. And he did have a little bit in Daniel Murphy and Ian Desmond. But the way that Arenado leads is more by example than vocally, which was more Desmond and Daniel Murphy's modus operandi. They were much better at being vocal in the clubhouse. So maybe McMahon is more of that vocal leader. And maybe, as McMahon said, Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle can be those lead by example players. Doyle even said, you know what? I've been one of those guys to lead by example, but I think I might need to get a little bit more of vocal. I might need to do that. And that's going to be a major test for the team, according to him, is they need to find their next leaders. If it's not one player, which is okay, because it's very rare that you're going to have one leader like that. And the Rockies have a lot on the pitching side. Kyle Freeland is a leader in that capacity. Hermen Marquez, maybe a little bit more leading by example. But you have a couple of those guys. Tyler Kinley is a leader of the bullpen. But are we talking superstar players? And are we talking position players? Right now, that player does not exist and has not come to the forefront just yet. Was Chris Bryant supposed to be that? I think so. And unfortunately, he is not. So they don't have that leader. So Charlie Blackman's void, say what you will about on the field, on paper, on his statistics is one thing. You can figure that out. You can replicate that. That's not the problem. It's that leadership. You might not realize this. Ryan McMahon is now the last position player from the 2018 National League wildcard winners. He's the last one. There's a couple pitchers, Hermen Marquez, Freeland, Senzatella, but with the retirement of Charlie Blackman, it's now just Ryan McMahon as the only position player that can say, hey, this place can really get jumping for the postseason. This place is great when there's 45,000 plus fans that are actually here for the game and is rooting for us to win, and they're going to stick through all 27 outs. I've been there for that. Ryan McMahon hit some big home runs, walk-off home run, in fact, in August of 2018 when he was still a young up-and-coming player that lifted the roof off the building. He remembers that. Unfortunately, there are no other position players that have had that experience at Coors Field. Do they know it's possible? Maybe, in theory, but they've never experienced it. And that's something that they need. That's something that they definitely need to have. And so leadership will be very interesting to see what happens going forward for a club that has 22 of the 40 men on the 40-man roster with less than 2 years of service time. Think about that. More than half has less than 2 years in the majors. 16 have less than 1 year of service time. Three have not even debuted yet. Zach Veen, Yankiel Fernandez, and reliever Juan Mejia, not to mention numerous other guys knocking on the door that haven't needed to be placed on the 40-man roster yet, but your Carson Palmquist, your Chase Dolanders. There's going to be camp battles. That's another thing that came out of Rockies Fest. In the bullpen, obviously, there's like six spots for 12 guys, which is a great thing. The Rockies have not had that many options in a while. And those options, forgive me for the poor wordplay and the pun, have options. So Colorado will be able to really keep their arms fresh in the bullpen and say, all right, you know, we use this guy. He's going to need about 4 or 5 days. Let's go ahead and send him down to the minors. He's got options, and let's call up the next best option that's available down in AAA Albuquerque. That's going to be a benefit to them. Catcher, the backup catcher to Jacob Stallings, obviously is going to be one of those camp battles. I asked Schmidt about those minor league signings from last week. Nick Martini and Keston Hera, they were brought in for competition, he said. At worst, their depth for AAA. So will Nick Martini turn into Jake Cave 2.0? That's possible. I like his odds at, you know, breaking through that opening day roster a lot more than Keston Hera, who just is not a good defender. He can hit, former first round pick, but he's just not a defender. Whereas Nick Martini can play the outfield. I don't think he can play center field quite the same capacity as Cave was able to last year in a pinch, but nevertheless, left-handed bat, you know, was good, really good, really good when healthy. The last 2 years with Cincinnati, I could see Martini being a little bit more of a factor as far as competing for a roster spot. And yes, again, in the chat, on the ball, appreciate that. Talk of acquiring some more relievers. We'll put it at that. Closers, I don't know about that. If that's your interpretation, maybe. Maybe. Certainly that would be really helpful. But what Schmidt and Black both said was there's still a lot of guys available right now in free agency. So could we bring in one or two more? It's very possible. Now, we do know they want to save money, so bringing in a closer is going to be costly. Even the worst one that's out there with a little big league experience, you got to think it's going to be worth at least $7, $8 million, right? David Robertson on a one-year deal, that's still going to be $8 million, maybe even more for a guy like him going to Colorado. But could there be more relievers on their way? Very possible. Very possible. Finally, the Los Angeles Dodgers was a major topic of conversation after their outstanding offseason. And it was outstanding. I mean, I don't know how else you could possibly frame it, but they've spent good money, but they haven't won anything in 2025. They're the reigning champs. Got to give them their due. But it's true, you do have to play the games, right? Are they the favorites to win the World Series? Absolutely. Are you betting against them? Well, if you listen to this podcast, you probably are. You hope so. If you're a bet with your heart, maybe rather than your head. But would I rather have all 29 teams than the Dodgers? My life dependent on it, gun to my head? Honestly, I'm taking the other 29 teams simply because it's been 25 years since any team has won back-to-back World Series. That's it. That's what it comes down to. Is this still the greatest collection of players that we've seen in the last 50 years? Yeah. You very well could say that. But I think if you were to look at the other, you know, top 10 collections of players, I don't know that all of them have won the World Series. How many commissioner's trophies were the Phillies supposed to win after 2009? They got Roy Halladay, Roy Oswalt. Still had Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee. How many World Series were those four guys supposed to win together? Because they didn't win any. They didn't win any. And that was like, can you believe this cast, this rotation? They're going to be so dominant. They're going to win everything. They won nothing. Because that's baseball. You have to play those games. You have to play those games. And you have to have some hope. So despite the fact that everything the Dodgers have done, yes, they're the best team on paper. Yes, they're probably most likely going to win the World Series as far as all the 30 teams go. Again, I think the field is probably a little bit better of a take. But that being said, all right, go out and play. Ryan Feltner loves competing against the Dodgers. His quote cracked me up listening back to it. He said, they've got all the guys. Because they do. They've got all the guys. And Feltner loves competing against them. And look what he did in his final start, final game of the season, game 162 against the Dodgers. Yelled Shohei Ohtani hitless. You know, he wasn't the main cause for why Ohtani didn't win the batting title. But look, Feltner knew what Ohtani was trying to do and that he was going to be a little aggressive, and he used that against them. Ryan Feltner is going to have an interesting 2025. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do, how he can build off of his first full complete season. He said he was on one hand disappointed that the season was over, because he had 15 of the best starts he had had of his career up to that point. But also, it was a long season, right? Close to 30 starts. So his body was feeling it. His shoulder, his elbow was feeling it. So, maybe he came at a good time to end on that high note. So, look, teams want to compete against the Dodgers. They're not going to lay down. They're still going to have to play the games. But, you know, is there a competitive balance issue here? Is a salary cap coming? That wasn't touched on exactly. But as Schmidt said, anybody can beat anyone, right? You still got to go out there and pitch and hit. Rockies have never been shut out by the Dodgers. They always win at least a couple games every year. Now, the last two, they've gone an identical 3-10 against the Dodgers. That's 6-20 over the past 2 years. It's actually their worst two-year record against the Dodgers in team history in terms of winning percentage. So it is what it is, playing against the Dodgers, but thankfully now it's not 19 times. It's only 13. Another really great moment that got a laugh that was worth a laugh. And I know some people have been rubbed the wrong way by this, but because the relationship that Bud Black has with Dave Roberts, who was a player of his and, you know, is now a contemporary, and, you know, they live in the same town in the San Diego area. And it was sort of asked, like, you know, after each of these Dodgers moves, you know, do you go down the street and say, hey, like, Dave, what's going on? Like, come on. And Buddy said, you know, I'm gonna group text with some of the managers, coaches, and friends in the industry, of course. And after every one of those moves, somebody, if not a lot of people, will end up texting, really? ? And, you know, that's been the way things have gone, I think, for a lot of people when they play the Dodgers. And I think for a lot of Rockies fans right now, not just looking at the Dodgers, looking at their team, looking at a lot of different things. It's really, and yeah, really, really. I'm going to continue to really give you the best podcast as possible. And tons of clips, by the way, if you're not following me on social media, please do that. If you're just listening to this as a podcast, thank you. Please leave a review. It goes a long way. Not just the 5 stars that you think I deserve, or 4. Hey, look, give me what you think I deserve. But leave a review. Leave a text review. That can go a long way. But if you listen to this as a podcast, and I know some of you do, if you're on the treadmill right now in the morning, laugh to yourself, because I'm, yes, I am talking to you, buddy. Go over to YouTube and watch some of these videos. I put up 20 different videos with Doyle, Tovar, Feltner, McMahon, Schmidt, Blackman, Bud Black, like all 7 of those guys talking. So watch those clips. Hear what they have to say. Don't just get the out of context or just the blurb, the synopsis of what they said. Hear it from their mouth, from Rockies Fest. What was it that they said? Check that out, please. At Patrick D. Lyons on the social medias, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, at Rockies Insider. Appreciate everybody joining and jumping in the chat. Wild the Innocent, doing that heavy lifting. Appreciate that. Not to mention the president of the Bradley Zimmer Fan Club. I see you. I hear you. We hope things work out a little bit better for your man next year. A lot of momentum going into this week as we're, you know, a couple weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. An event on Saturday, Dante Bichette with the Friends of Greeley. Make sure you check that event out. I will be there. You can read all about that and a lot more in the Rockies newsletter. Make sure you get yourself signed up for that. Over on my Substack, just search Patrick D. Lyons Substack, Rockies Insider Newsletter. You'll be able to find that. Then the week after that, it's Sabre Day on February 8th, Stanley Beer Hall. I'll be having an in-depth conversation with a pair of authors, a pair of Denver baseball boys, Mark Knutson, the first, the original Kyle Freeland, right? Some say that Kyle Freeland is the original Mark Knutson, not the other way around, from Colorado, went to high school here, college, minor league baseball in Colorado, and played for the initial inaugural 1993 Colorado Rockies. No one will ever be able to say they've done all 5 of those things because there's not too many places you can play Division I baseball at in the state of Colorado at this point. So talking with Mark Knutson, talk with Manny Randhawa. They'll be there. They might even have some copies of their books. They'll go ahead and sign those for you if you've got your own copy. bring that. Knutson has a book that just came out that he co-wrote with Don August. So many wonderful things still going on in the baseball community. Even more than that I haven't mentioned. That's why I got to check out the newsletter. So thank you for joining me. As always, appreciate the momentum you've given me. But as I do like to say, momentum simply only as good as my next show. So I'll talk to you then.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.